Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment. Do your daily practice. Be on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message or experience of feeling bad as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. Remember, we're practicing what we are. We're not practicing being what we're not. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Hello? Who's this?
Oh, hello, this is Helga in Charleston.
Hello, Helga. What are you seeing?
Hi. Yeah, so, you know, when I was looking at the whole thing with beginning, it took me a little while to understand that or realize that part of what ego is doing is like, you know, reviewing the past over and over and over again, the regrets, you know, what I've done wrong, blah, blah, blah. So, I thought, you know, for me, you know, to be able to be in the present with what's beginning, I have to let go of the past, and ego doesn't want that at all.
No, so it's not like, a bit.
Yeah, so it's either, yeah. You know, I'm either in the living in the past, you know, in those stories, or I'm procrastinating, which is, you know, the future. So I kind of, you know, those two things are very obvious.
Yes, and Helga, I don't know, I would be tempted to say fun, but I know it doesn't always feel like fun. But when the procrastination is still based on something from the past, right? You're procrastinating because it's not going to go well, because you're not really equal to it, because you don't, right? So it's still coming from information based on a supposed past.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but I can see that. You know, it's also, you know, kind of fear-based. Like when you say that,
yes.
You know, that comes up for me. It's like this fear-based behavior.
Right. That's right. It's going to be like it was. It's going to be, you're going to make one more mistake. You're going to do one more thing wrong. This is not going to go well. You better just avoid this as long as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I thought that it felt, what came to me was that, you know, in order for me to be in the present and being present for beginnings, I have to let go. And ego really just doesn't want me to. Ego is like, you know,
no.
It's like this, the whole to me, it's like, you know, the whole character of ego is like, I had this image like of this monkey, you know, that has its hand in a hole, holding on to something that it wants, and it could just let go and would be able to be free itself, but it just won't, you know, it's just because it wants that thing in there.
Right. Yeah, and that thing in there that ego monkey wants is your life force.
Yeah.
Right? It wants your life. So, yeah, it's just clinging desperately.
Yeah.
And that connection you made between the, you know, the procrastination and the beginning is that what I project you're seeing in that need to let go is, well, I don't know. If I let go of the past, then it's really clear. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, no, it's like, you know, it's like it feels like in my body, it feels like a free fall.
Yes. Yes.
You know, just jumping off and just not knowing. And it almost, you know, it's like it almost creates this, it creates this sensation of like dizziness almost. You know, it's like, I mean, I can feel it physically, you know, what it feels like.
Yes.
And then, you know, the ego comes in with those, you know, it's like, oh, this is fear, you know, and then, you know, then it draws me back to that, you know, that sensation that then it, you know, cause fear, but it's really just this, free fall and not knowing.
Ego can't stand that. Well, it's what I project again. What you're seeing is what you feel like when ego is not attached to you. So ego would frame it as a free fall, but let's talk about it as lightness, expansiveness, right? So there you are in this whole new world. And is it a little disorienting? Yeah, but that doesn't mean you want to go back to the past, to ego's story of what all of this means. So it is kind of dizzying at first to live without ego fear, to actually be in the present, in that vast, I don't know, it's exciting. And fear and excitement, you know, feel in the body exactly the same way.
So anyway, so I've just come up with this thing that, you know, when I realize that I'm, you know, like living in these stories in my head, when, you know, when that draws me back in there, to take a breath and say thank you.
Yes. Yes, because and, you're no longer in that story, right? You are watching that. You are outside it, observing it. Thank you.
Yep.
It's big, huh?
And that also takes me out of, you know, that process of, you know, judging what happened and, you know, it's like, this was terrible and blah, blah. I mean, this whole thing that I've been living in for a long time. So that moment of saying thank you, it's just, you know, that it does. It kind of cuts me off from all those stories that my mind runs constantly. And
that's right. That ego runs in order to keep you in its little closed world between our ears, its little generating fear world. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Helga.
Anyway, it's good to talk to you. Thank you.
Great to hear your voice.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Helga. Sherry, two things come up from that conversation. One is the assignment for the day, which is to practice what we are, not what we're not. We're so used to being identified with ego or our past as who we are that we don't identify with the present, with presence as what we are. And so that was the first thing. And the second being that when we disidentify and when we experience that freefall or excitement, we actually have to train, which is why the last couple of exercises of the retreat is training to actually, it's hard to describe because there is no one, but to be able to train to be in free fall or absence of ego and know that experience as what we are. It's hard to describe and it's hard to do, but it is possible to train, right? And Helga's was perfect. Take a deep breath and actually allow for the sensations. Because it's only that we are not used to them. It's not that we're not them, right?
Right. There's nothing scary about them except we've been taught to be afraid of it.
Yeah.
And so one of the things, the thank you, of course, is perfect. And with what you're saying, the initiating the training, please, please is the great word for that.
Right?
It just brings everything into conscious awareness. It acknowledges that we are in conscious awareness. Please, more free fall, please. Thank you.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail in Flagstaff.
Hello, Gail. What are you seeing?
Well, this is perfect. This is what Helga just said. I just was yes.
yes, but, please. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. What I've been seeing and what I really saw this morning just a few minutes ago was how I was, by calling it an ego story, it had actually made it smaller. And I kept trying to let go of a small story, you know, like a book on a shelf. And what I've been seeing, especially since I got your guidance a couple weeks ago, is that the story, the ego story, is huge. I mean, it's like it's not just a story. It's like the way I see and talk and think, and, you know, it's like this whole web that was much, much more vast than I thought. And then, so to drop it was like not an the letting go part. That's why it's not easy to do, because it's not a small thing. It's a, you know, it's like a web or a pool of water. It's something you're swimming in. It's just, it was much more involved than I thought. And then,
right, Gail, if I may, it's we'll sometimes use the image of it's the lens that we're seeing through.
Yeah, I would go even deeper.
Does that feel like it?
Yeah, I know. I would
Pardon me?
For that. It's more like the view, you know, when you talk about the view. And to drop all that, and then when you get a glimpse of that rendering, then it's like what's out there here is even vaster and bigger and deeper and expansive and all that stuff Helga was talking about. And so that's where it's like, okay. And so it's more like relax, instead of letting go, relaxing into seems to be working a lot better for me.
Yes. So see if this fits for you. So ego has us, once we catch on to what an ego story is, right, then, of course, it wants us to be caught in the ego story.
Yes.
So we watch it. We watch the ego story. And what you've realized is we watch that through ego. Ego is watching ego's story. But what you're describing now and what Helga was describing is you are now watching that process and seeing how big ego's web has been, right?
Yeah.
But now you're stepped back. You're in that observing place, and you're, so my favorite, you're no longer looking through conditioned mind, you're looking at conditioned mind.
Exactly. And I thought I knew what you meant by that earlier, but I didn't.
Right. Well, you did, but you didn't. That's the one that we stumble over a lot in practice. Oh yeah, I get that, because you do get that, because that's who you are. But on that kind of flash of intuitive knowing, that might come a little later.
Yes. Yes.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Go happy.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Gail. It's amazing the kinds of movements we can make when we practice, right, Cherry? If we show up and actually do the work, we invite that process of disidentification and insight.
Yes, which is a really important point, because we have new people in this retreat. And the first time, I think it was the first time we did this, you know, and I would often say, or you would often say, go happy, you know, or isn't that great, or what fun, or how exciting, and people are going, I'm not having any of those experiences, okay? Which ego wants to grab onto and say, yeah, this isn't for you. But the conversations that we're having are the result of people doing a lot of practice. You know, if you got to be in the kitchen with Julia Childs, you know, don't expect your recipes to go quite like hers, right? Because when you're, you know, you've been practicing something for a long time, your experience is very different from just getting started. So we need to be humble and patient and dogged in our refusal to go with ego's assessment of what's going on with us. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And just as has been described, you know, we know this or we wouldn't be on the path. Well, we would be on the path, but we wouldn't have a sense of being on the path. We know all of this stuff. It's just knowing that we know it. That's the difference.
The willingness to stick with it. And I think somewhere I was looking at it, that the mark of a student is faith and patience. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's the, when somebody asks,
seeker.
Can never... Yeah, a seeker.
Mm-hmm.
I can never remember whether it's Dogen or Bodhidharma.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care because I don't think they do either. But the famous question of, if we're already enlightened, why mm-hmm. do we have to practice? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, because you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
as soon as the other trick of that is, as soon as you realize your inherent enlightenment, all you want to do is practice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think it was Dogen, but again,
he doesn't care.
Okay. No, not anymore. All right, here's our next caller. You're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Kate Schutt in New York.
In New York, I knew that, Kate. What are you seeing?
Oh, so much. I love the do your daily practice, whether you feel like it or not. Because
you've been practicing with that for a long time. You were practicing with that long before we met you, right?
This is true.
Yeah.
Ever since I picked up an instrument.
Yep.
At age 11.
I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do that now. It's too hard. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what I love about it is when I don't want to and don't feel like it is such a great feeling from where I am now to prove ego wrong.
Yeah. 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 Ego doesn't feel like it. Ego never feels like it. Right?
Right.
But the heart feels like it always.
Mm-hmm. And I just love the opportunity of that feeling of not wanting to do it, because I've turned a corner and see that as like a neon sign of practice opportunity.
That's your please, right?
Yes, that's it.
You've been saying please to get to the other side of this, and now life, the intelligence, the heart, is offering that to you on a regular basis so that you get really, really, really deeply clear about it.
Mm-hmm. And that even the 1 minute of doing the thing that that ego's telling me not that it doesn't want to do counts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. And because it's that knowledge, you know, if we can be religious types here for a minute, it's that knowledge that I'm doing this out of gratitude for the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is my expression of devotion. When I am called, I will answer. Even if the answer is just a minute. Not just a minute as in I'm postponing you. But if all I can do right now is a minute of devotion, I'm going to do that. Because that's my thank you.
Yeah, it's just so wonderful to hear you use that word, devotion.
Mm. Mm. Well, I am a religious type. I'll often use the word spiritual because religion freaks so many people out. But I've known from a very early age, I'm a religious type.
Mm.
I love it.
Yeah, but to see that, to reframe that minute as devotion is just so beautiful.
Mm. Mm. Good. Good. So that tells me you're going to enjoy those minutes even more.
Correct.
All right, good.
Thank you,
Kate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate. I love that, Sherry, that it's that when we practice, we keep practicing overriding the resistance because it's not what we are. And if we keep at it, there's a way in which what we do is what we want to do. There's an opening, there's a joy at coming to the task that then becomes our orientation. And it's so helpful when we can't see when we're in the training phase of overcoming resistance, that what we're actually training in is willingness and devotion and faith, because that's not how conditioning frames it. It frames it as I'm getting past resistance, and it really takes awareness to frame it as actually, no, you're not actually going past resistance. You're training in faith, devotion, and listening to guidance. You're in service.
Yeah. In service. Yeah. That was the word that was coming to me as you were talking. It's service. And it is selfless service.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Yeah.
Small Your self. Definition of no
yeah.
ego. Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, that's beautiful.
All right. Here's our next
And
call.
One other thing, Ashwini, one other thing before we leave that one, is that, you know, what Kate is practicing with is music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instruments of making music, right? And so when we talk about selfless service, there are egos that would be conditioned to say, well, but that's playing an instrument. That's not, mm-hmm. you know, selfless service is scrubbing hospital floors.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, because the selfless service is giving up the ego in order, as you said, to follow life's guidance,
mm-hmm.
whatever yeah. that is for each one of us.
Mm-hmm. It's very
yeah.
related to our assignment for today, so we'll stay tuned
oh, goody,
for that.
I can't wait. Okay, good.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
This is Jennifer from Washington.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
I am seeing self-hate projected outward, its favorite place, so I won't notice
mm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
and
yeah,
and Jennifer, do you mean it hates others, or it's projecting that others hate you?
It's judging others.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Negatively.
Okay.
Like, they are so
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah,
and
well,
I'm
yeah.
really
And you
on
happen to notice it.
I am noticing it. And it's taken up way too much airspace in my mind. A very good friend of mine has decided that she just wants to go to New Mexico because to her other house in New Mexico, so she's going to travel. And there's some little part of me that's like, what? That's unacceptable.
Mm.
We're under a stay-home order here. And and it's just speculating about how that's so selfish and so
mm-hmm.
first world and, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's just no escaping the judgment here lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of things about that strike me, Jennifer. One is with judgments of others, very often they are the result of somebody doing something that I would never be allowed to do.
Yeah.
You could never allow yourself to be that selfish.
That's right.
The judgment of you would kill you.
It would. Yeah. No. That's just way.
And there she is. There she is. She doesn't have
There's
any
it.
Of that. She doesn't care. She doesn't care who she in danger. She doesn't. All she cares about is herself. How can
right.
she be that way?
Okay, you've heard all the stories in my mind.
Yes. Well, I don't know how I know these things, Jennifer. It's just it's amazing to me that you know somebody can know things that they have absolutely no experience of. It's just like a miracle. And so one of the things that can be helpful with that is to put that right where it belongs, okay? And it'll take a little because it so wants this to be about you in some way, right? Because
mm-hmm.
if it's not her, as you've noticed, it's going to turn right back on you. And
right.
the only place that any of that exists, for you or for her, she could be a real bodhisattva for you, right? If she helps you get out from under that tyranny for yourself.
Yeah.
If those hateful voices are no longer able to do to you what they are doing to her, that would be a tremendous gift.
That really would be.
Yeah.
Would
so
be
the
cute.
You know, the exercise that goes with that is the self-hating voices say blah, blah, blah. And that is
right.
just ego self-hate. What is really true is, and then you're going to look a little, you know, you're going to look a little, right, at everything from, well, I do want to be the best person that I can be, to I do make choices because I'm afraid I won't survive.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, I can definitely see that, the choices of being afraid of not surviving. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that we're making all the time, right?
Right.
And so I was just writing about this in my little newsletter article for this month, but as long, and we all do this, okay, but just in this situation, as long as she is behaving that way, what it proves to me is I'm the right person.
Yeah.
Right? And that balances out all of the information I get about what a wrong person I am.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a sense of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm listening to this one again. I can see some recordings coming.
Yes. Yes. Well, for all of us, because it is one of those principles of how all of this works, that if we take it on, we can really see how it's playing, as people on the call have already been indicating, under the radar, it's playing that out all the time, that balance of, I'm the wrong person, well, but I'm not as bad as she is, so therefore, I actually am the right person. And it's like the scales are constantly balanced in that way. The self-hating scales, how creepy is that?
Yeah, a little teeter-totter. Up, down, up.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Wow, that's really helpful, Jennifer.
On here.
Yeah, it's really helpful. So thank you for putting all that out there.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Jennifer. Sherry, I have so much to say about that, but I'm going to bring our next caller on because I think we have time for at least one more caller.
You're a wonderful person. We'll talk about it later.
Yes. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Patty.
Who's this? Hey, Patty.
This is Patty. Wow, I'm on. I'm so excited
to
be on.
Oh, good. Well, how about just being excited? Then you can be excited even when you're not on.
And I have so much to say, and I just don't know where to begin. I think what I want to tell you, I've been really exploring beginnings and a workshop with that, and with recording and listening, but the thing that came to me that was so exciting was this on the weekend workshop where we were preparing food. I just followed all the simple recipe to be done, and something happened just minutes of okay, now go do the task of getting your apple, cutting it. I was so out of the stories and present to going to the fridge and picking up this apple and cutting it and seeing the beauty of this apple bagel shape. It was so exquisite just being in the bare attention without the stories that I... And I had to make some recordings of that, and I see the reason for recording so that I can remember that feeling.
Yes. Now, I'm gonna change the language just a little. What you're seeing is critical, but you're not going to remember the feeling. The recording is going to return you to the feeling.
Yes.
So you can practice turning attention there and being in that feeling, which helps us to build those being in pure awareness muscles.
Yes. And that was something that was so concrete, and it was just minutes. And it was so concrete, mm-hmm. that feeling of being present and, mm-hmm. And time falling away and expansiveness and mm-hmm. joy, all of that. So in this whole month of beginnings, I right at the beginning of last month, I rented a studio space. And luckily in this coronavirus, I'm able to go there because no one else is there, or, you know, I have a separate mm-hmm. space. And mm-hmm. In this week of practicing, picking something to practice and keep doing it every week, or doing it all this week, I did a recording of when I was so excited, actually doing Raku pottery, and you put it in the fire, you don't know the transformation of the pot until you scrub it after it's come out of the fire. And I was so excited working with my hands, so excited for everyone doing this, not just mine, and for what it's going to look like in the end after the fact. It's not about the product. And so when I go into the studio, I listen to that as I'm sitting there and before I start. And I listen to this one now, the one I did on Saturday. And it's made a real difference in how yeah. I come to this creative process of being more present.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's really good. And as you get more steeped in that, it's going to start appearing in other places, right? So you're practicing it there, and then it becomes more familiar, and the recording, the reminder. Yeah, this is where I want to live.
Yeah, right?
this is how I want to be. And so you're just returning to that reminder, that awareness over and over and over. And the more you do that, the more present you are, the more you're able to be present, and it just grows and grows. All right, well, we're out of time. So thank you for that very concrete example of how to practice with this.
Thank you. And take it easy.
Yes, absolutely. Let's all take it easy. All right. Thank you, Patty.
Terry, Ashwini.
Go happy.
Gesho.
Thanks, Patty. And that brings us to our assignment, Sherry. And it's the perfect one for all of what we've talked about. Do your daily practice. There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. Martha Graham. Today, pay special attention to how this life force in you is uniquely expressed. Record and listen. Music, wonder, and apples.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Go happy.